The Green Front with Betsy Rosenberg, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Don't mess with California actually worked. Proposition 23, which would have set back the cause of climate change, which is a cause all of us are impacted by. That is the good news from yesterday's election, and midterm elections really brought kind of a mixed bag. In this program, we're going to dedicate the show to getting results and looking at it, of course, as we always do, through green glasses. My first guest is Becky Bond with the Credo Action Group. They've been very active in trying to stop 23. A lot of people turned out to make calls. I was one of them. I'll admit that. I am a pro environmental awareness, unabashed advocate for people being aware of what is at stake. And whether you're blue or red, you got to be green because the future is green or not at all. So we're going to start with that good news, but certainly some setbacks for the climate cause. And in our second half, we'll talk to someone with One Sky and see what kind of mixed results we saw in terms of Congress. Republicans obviously getting a lot of seats, and that doesn't mean bad news for the environment necessarily, but so often it does turn out to be that way. So I want to welcome Becky Bond, who's had a busy couple of days and weeks, to the Green Front.
Well, hey, Becky. Thanks for having me. It has been quite a lot of work out here in California
but
crushing the anti-environmental
work. It worked, all that work.
You know, it did work. I mean, the you know, the important things about elections, you know, are to learn that there's winners and losers, and they're always, almost always over on election day. In this election, people who care about the environment and people who are concerned about corporate control over government, we didn't just want to get, 50% plus one vote on this. We wanted to send a resounding message to the rest of the country, and we really wanted to crush Prop 23 and try and stop some of these initiatives from coming up in other states, and I think we accomplished that. We essentially beat back Proposition 23, which would have repealed our state's global warming law, and this is a global warming law that's not only first in the nation, but it's actually the largest legislated reductions in greenhouse gases in the world, and it takes effect next year. So this is huge. We wanted to send a message. We beat it, by 20 points, 60-40 vote statewide. The vote count, of people that voted to protect our global warming law from the oil companies. 500,000 more people voted to defeat Proposition 23 than voted to send Barbara Boxer back to the Senate, and we had double her margin of victory percentage-wise. So this is a real message.
A real victory or a real defeat for Prop 23, as it should be, with mostly Texas oil money coming in and trying to mess with California. And, of course, California beat Texas in the World Series. There's a big parade going on right now in downtown San Francisco. But also, I think people were outraged when they learned where 90-some-odd percent of the money was coming from, that they were really trying to mess with our landmark climate change laws.
I think that's right, Betsy. I mean, I think one of the things that was different about California in our fight here than fights that we've had in other places. I mean, if you look at the struggle, and I know you've talked a lot about, the fight to pass federal climate legislation, where we had environmental groups that were really trying to work with the polluters to craft something that we could all live with. And here in California, when this fight came up, after we'd lost the federal fight to pass meaningful climate legislation, here we have in California a law that's much better than the extremely compromised bill that was, you know, being considered in the Senate, and we have this great law, and we said, you know what, we're going to do things differently because we've seen how that works, and we're not going to do that. And we really believe that change doesn't come from the insiders. Change doesn't come from working with the corporations on things like climate. Change comes, you know, when people get together and they fight for what they believe in. In this case, it's that we need to take drastic action to save the planet. And we attack the corporations. We didn't try and work with them and craft a compromise that everybody could live with. We went directly to the people that were funding this, and it happened to be two Texas oil companies. I mean, we're very fortunate in California to have good campaign finance disclosure laws, so they couldn't launder the money through shady, you know, 501c4 organizations like Karl Rove is running, and you can't tell who's giving the money. We were able to go to the people directly and say, you know, Texas oil companies have put almost all of the money up for this. Do you think that they care about jobs in California? No, they care about Texas oil company profits. And people looked at it and they said, you know what? We don't believe these guys, and we don't want Texas, two Texas companies essentially rewriting our climate laws. And they fought back, and I think that's the reason why we won by such a large margin. It's not a question of there's good companies, which are clean energy companies, and there's bad companies, which are dirty oil companies. It's more the idea that, you know, that people and our legislators get to decide and write the laws for California, not corporations who feel like if they just spend enough that they can get to write regulations to their liking.
And so this proved a lot of things, obviously, that Californians are in favor of strong action on to combat climate change, but also, again, as we've been saying, that money doesn't necessarily buy elections. And we saw that in the race for governor in California, the Golden Green State, with Meg Whitman spending somewhere between $150 and $200 million, I've heard both, and Jerry Brown, who is definitely green, won the day.
Absolutely.
So another example of that, that money can only buy so much.
Absolutely, and especially when you can connect it to the source. I mean, I think that that's one of the problems that we're facing with Citizens United and what's happening nationally, is that so often corporate money finds its way into elections, and if you can't tell the voters where the money is coming from, they don't have important information for them to decide. And it was very clear that Meg Whitman was spending her personal fortune, and voters in California had to ask themselves, you know, why does she want to spend so much money to become the governor of California? Why is someone who didn't even vote regularly would invest this kind of money in taking over our state? And I think also it was clear, you know, that this is someone who was very anti-environment. This is someone who was anti-immigrant. This is someone who, you know, had a very anti-California agenda. You know, in the first debate with Jerry Brown, I mean, she even sort of talked admiringly about Texas and the business climate there. So I do think that this was a great victory for what California stands for versus what Texas stands for, and the World Series win just made it even more sweet.
Agreed. And I think it was surprising to some of us that Meg Whitman, she almost came out and endorsed Proposition 23, which would have, again, really been the end of AB 32 for all intents and purposes. I mean, she lives in the Bay Area. She ran a Silicon Valley company. We're usually more progressive out here. I mean, after all, eBay is by its very nature, you know, it promotes reuse. So I think we learned a lot about her, that she really was not very green at all, other than she had a lot of green to put up for her ultimate defeat.
Yeah, I think that's right, and I also think, you know, the part of the problem is that, you know, the way that the parties you know, polarize viewpoints. You know, Meg Whitman is someone who basically at every stage of the game she said whatever was necessary to win the votes that she needed to get to the next stage, and so she was very anti-environment in her primary when she had to appeal to Republicans, and then she tried to move to a softer position on the environment, saying she would probably vote no on Proposition 23, though when she went into office that she would suspend it. Now we have a great challenge. Jerry Brown has been elected the governor, and we have to make sure that there's the funds are there and that the right people are appointed to carry out this very complicated and powerful piece of legislation, AB 32, that we have. Because we've shown that California can take the lead in passing progressive legislation. Now we have to do the actual work needed to reduce the level of greenhouse gas emissions in California. I mean, California is the 12th largest emitter of greenhouse gases in the world. And if we can make significant progress on capping greenhouse emissions in the state and building an economy around it, that's going to be huge, not just for our state, but it's also going to be for the country and for the world. And I also, you know, truly believe, and this is one of the reasons why, you know, Credo went all out on this campaign, is that, you know, if we can be successful with our climate law in California, one that is follows what the scientists say is necessary to combat climate change, then it will be very difficult for moderate Democrats to compromise on a federal bill that has standards that are lower than what we've been able to make make work here in California. And you know, this really is one of those situations where the people are just way far ahead of the politicians. You know, our campaign here in California, we had 2,000 volunteers, you know, working out of 7 offices statewide. They made over 800,000 phone calls to protect our global warming law. People want this to work. People care. And there's going to be a parade, you know what I mean? And the politicians, you know, need to get out in front, you know what I mean, and start walking. Because this is something people want. We're going to replicate this in other states. We're going to stop trying to work with the corporations and the polluters to come up with, you know, lukewarm, not enough solutions. And we're going to go out there and we're going to write bills, you know, that do what we want to accomplish. We're going to encourage activists and citizens to get involved. We're going to let them harness their moral outrage and responsibility that they feel to save the planet from destruction and restart our economy. And we're going to make some progress with or without Washington, D.C.
Well put. And before we move on to other races, it's worth noting, you know, I remember when Governor Schwarzenegger signed AB 32 into law. It was in the Presidio, right, overlooking the Golden Gate Bridge, and the fog was coming in, and there were lots of legislators there. Of course, Fran Pavley, who brought it forward, and he really made a big turnaround when he was governor. I heard him speak at an NRDC fundraiser last week, and he was fighting mad about the prospect of what he sort of saw as his legislation, AB 32, being overturned by Texas oil interests. And he really made a big turnaround that's genuine. And if I always say, if the man who inspired the Hummer can really become a leader in climate change, then anything's possible.
Well put.
So let's look at some of the other races. And just, I guess before we just say that, I acknowledge your comment about how important it was to win, because if AB 32 had been overturned and Prop 23 had been successful, what would the rest of the country be saying, especially those climate deniers who were looking for any fuel, pun intended, for their fire, to say, well, if you know they couldn't be successful in California, then nobody else will be, so we need to drop this kind of thinking and action.
Absolutely, and I think even if we had won narrowly, they would have said even in California, they could barely hold on to a law that they already had on the books. And I think winning 60-40, it was a crushing defeat for the Texas oil companies, and it was a magnificent victory for people that actually want to do something about climate. That it really sends a message, and it gives our movement something to build on.
Also a victory with Barbara Boxer, who has long been a champion of clean energy and environmental stewardship, and Carly Fiorina, not quite the same in terms of green stripes. She, of course, has been not very much in the leadership role in terms of climate change legislation. In fact, the opposite. She was speaking in Mill Valley in Marin County, pretty progressive and pretty brave of her to show up at the Mill Valley Community Center about a month ago, and there were protests. There were more protesters. It was mostly the Nurses Association. Mm-hmm. Then there were Tea Partiers inside, and one of the signs, I admit it was mine, said, Fiorina, stop the fossil foolishness, because after all, you know, this is California, and she's really been one who put a lot of money into the campaign, but that was really where most of her green showed.
Mm-hmm. We really hope this. I mean, again, the 500,000 people that voted, you know, against Proposition 23 but didn't vote for Barbara Boxer, we really hope that this will encourage her to be even more bold on climate, because you know, even though you know she is one of our champions on that issue and she's great, and we appreciate all the work that she's done. We want her to know we really have her back. You know what I mean? If she were to go forward, you know, and try and have the Senate pass a bill that looks like the bill that we have here in California, I think that she saw that I hope she sees that if you're bold and you do what it's really going to take to address this issue, not a Washington, D.C. sort of compromise that gives us some things, but also, you know, grants huge subsidies to coal, that guts our Clean Air Act, you know, that the people will be behind it, people won't just, you know, sort of not be attacked for it, but they'll be praised and they'll be lifted up. on by the vast majority of Americans who really want to deal with this. I mean, I also think you mentioned Carly Fiorina, who didn't win, but I mean, there is a parade of climate deniers who've now been elected to the Senate, and these are not just people that don't believe in spending in regulation, right, to stop climate change, but these are people that don't believe that climate change is man-made and that we can do something about it. We elected John Boozman in Arkansas. He's a climate denier. We elected Mark Rubio in Florida. He's going to the Senate. He's a climate denier. Dan Coats in Indiana. Roy Blunt in Missouri. Rand Paul, of course, in Kentucky. Ron, we replaced, we replaced Feingold in Wisconsin with Ron Johnson, a climate denier. It's going to be, things are going to be tough in the Senate, not just when you have people that don't agree with you on what to do about an issue, but you have people who basically don't listen to the scientific consensus.
It's going to be tougher in the House with all the victories. And again, just because you're Republican doesn't mean you're anti-environment, but unfortunately, too often, it ends up that way.
Well, they vote for leadership that is radically anti-science and anti-environment. You know, the Congress that we had when we had a majority in the House and a supermajority in the Senate, we still weren't able to muster action on behalf of what, the scientific community says, not the environmental community, what the scientific community says we need to do to stop climate change. And we're in a much worse position now.
So what about this Tea Party? I think you probably would agree a Green Tea Party or something like that is needed, given that most of the Tea Partiers and, what was it, 20 or 21 out of the candidates for Senate, the Republican candidates, were climate change deniers. And many of them are in power now, and that's going to be an uphill battle when we least could afford it.
It's true. I mean, what this really says is that, the environmental movement needs to take a really hard look at what our strategies have been, our penchant for lobbying, and for trying to work with the D.C. politicians at the federal level. It will be very hard to do anything except defend some of the things that we hold dear. One of the biggest fights coming up is clearly going to be protecting the Clean Air Act and the ability of the EPA to enforce that. That's going to be under attack, and we're going to have to be able to, as a minority, in the House, and as a sort of working minority in the Senate, basically to be able to stop attacks on the Clean Air Act. And we're really going to have to let President Obama know that we expect him to veto any bill that stops the EPA from regulating carbon under the Clean Air Act. That's going to be a huge fight. And so we're going to have to work really hard to make sure that things don't get worse. But there are very few things we're going to be able to do at a federal level to hope that things will get better. We really do need to take our fight to the states. The Sierra Club, for example, has been a leader for years in stopping new coal plants, state by state, town by town, plant by plant. They've expanded this campaign, and now not only are they focused on stopping new plants, but they're shutting down old plants. And this is something where we don't have to depend on how the Senate's going to vote, or that 40 anti-science senators can stop any action on climate. And we're going to have to join in and be part of that. We are going to have to push Obama very hard to protect the Clean Air Act, and we're also going to have to encourage Lisa Jackson at the EPA to continue to take strong action against mountaintop removal mining, against coal mining, against coal plants, and to push to fast-track the plan to start putting limits on carbon emissions and using EPA as an enforcement tool.
And, in fact, that question came up at President Obama's news conference just about an hour ago, that question about the EPA's, authority there. And he said, the EPA would rather this have been legislated, but they are under court order, and there, is a ruling that greenhouse gases are a pollutant. And he said, so it's important to not ignore science, I'm paraphrasing here, but to find ways to solve our problems. He says there's new opportunities to create energy independence. That should be something all Americans are for, and to create new jobs and new industries and to make us a world leader. Competitiveness, that's also a very American ethic. If we're not self-interested and competitive, what are we as Americans? And he said also that cap and trade is not the only way to, quote, skin a cat, that there are other means available. And he said the EPA does not, this is not a power grab on the part of the EPA. So it sounds like he's in the green corner on that one.
Well, and we need to keep the pressure on him so that when time comes to compromise, that it'll be worse for him to compromise on that than to give in. right? So, you know, the president needs our pressure. In the absence of our pressure, there's huge pressure on the other side pushing him, you know, not to do the right thing. And so he needs us. And I think, you know, in the abstract, he welcomes our pressure to make sure that he does the right thing. You know, we're not going to get anything that we don't organize to take. And we can't take it for granted that we have people who share our views in the White House, that's going to lead to change. And so that's why, you know, with this fight in California around Proposition 23 and the work that we do nationally, we really focus on organizing people, you know, to take power and put pressure, you know, on the leverage points to make change happen. We don't expect it to be given to us. We don't expect politicians, even those who agree with us, to do the right thing, if not pressured to do so, and in many cases overwhelmingly. And so that's, you know, what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to fight. We're going to have to fight a lot. And it's not going to be won by hiring lobbyists or staffers in D.C. It's going to be won by mobilizing people and having them act together in ways that make sense and put pressure on the people that are making the decisions to do what it is that we think that we need to do and what scientists think that we need to do to save the planet.
Do you know, Becky, about how much the proponents of Prop 23 ended up spending?
You know, that's a really interesting question. The oil companies ended up putting about $10 million in. And, you know, this was a fight. You know, normally what the oil companies do when something comes up in California is they just spend, it's cheap for them to spend on these races. In 1996, they spent $93 million to defeat a clean energy initiative. And on this fight, Dan Logue, their champion in the California legislature, said they were ready to spend $50 million to pass Proposition 23. What happened, though, back in September, was that, you know, in August and September, was that, you know, activists in California started a boycott of Valero. And then we started the Stop Texas Oil campaign, and we drew attention to the fact that all the funding was coming from these two oil companies, and we went after them hard. And at the point at which we went after them, every time they put money into the account, that just made them more of the issue, right? And voters rejected this largely, you know what I mean, because they didn't trust it because the oil companies were pushing it. They didn't believe that this was something that was going to save jobs if it was something that was just being paid for by these two Texas oil companies. So, you know, so the Texas oil companies essentially stopped putting money in, you know, at the point at which their support of it became the issue. So this is sort of the first statewide referendum we've had in California on clean energy where we were able to beat the oil companies and change the terms of the debate. And so they were not able just to spend an enormous amount of money and run television ads and confuse the electorate and win.
And
so,
sorry.
Oh, no, and for us, this was really culminated on October. There was an October 2nd editorial in the San Jose Mercury News by the CEOs of Valero and Tesoro, in which they made the case. This is on October 2nd. They published an editorial saying, you know, we're not oil companies and we're not from Texas. Right, and this was how they we had put them so on the defensive that they had to deny that they were from Texas and that they were oil companies, and that was at the point at which I think that we knew that we really had neutralized them as a force in this election, and then could concentrate on trying to fight for the overwhelming victory that would send the message nationally.
And I guess technically the Koch brothers' headquarters is in Wichita, Kansas, and you probably are aware Joel Francis, a student from Los Angeles, traveled there to the front door of the Koch brothers' building. They probably own most, if not all of it, and demanded a debate to Charles Koch, said, you know, come out and put your mouth where your money is. And, of course, there was no response other than to be escorted off the property. But if they were unwilling to debate something they'd put so much, you know, resources into, that says a lot.
Well, I think, again, and that was a magnificent action on the part of the California Students for Sustainability and Joel. And again, what it does is it makes the funders the issue, right? It says this isn't about jobs. This is about these Tea Party funding libertarian, you know, billionaires. And so let's have a conversation about that. And, you know, when you call attention to that and you bring that out in the open, yeah, they don't want to debate that guy.
And, yeah, I think this should send a message, do you think? I mean, okay, so if they spent $10 million, the proponents of Prop 23, I guess the $10 million question we now should ask the day after the election is, you know, how can we make it so that as California goes, so goes the rest of the nation? I mean, there is a gap, a green gap between, you know, what we're doing here and the rest of the country. And, you know, I've heard this at every green conference I've attended up through and including last week's Natural Resources Defense Council 40th Anniversary Summit. And everyone says on panel after panel, speaker after speaker, we need to educate the public. We need to put muscle behind the movement so that there is demand for, like there was for health care reform, demand for climate change action. And that still seems to be a bit of a parallel universe that we're traversing.
I mean, we believe...
How do we overcome that?
Yeah, I mean, we believe in organizing. And we saw what organizing did for the Obama campaign in 2008. No. And, you know, I think the environmental movement needs to spend less money on lobbying and television commercials and spend more money, you know, organizing and reaching out to and creating a structure where all of our amazing members and people that care about the environment make it easy for them to, you know, come together for us to empower leaders at the grassroots level and work for change. I mean, that's how we're going to change this. It's going to be the grassroots that are going to change this. We're not going to win it with television commercials. We're not going to win it with lobbyists.
This is PRN, Progressive Radio Network, your voice for independent views.
Greetings, this is Ellen Kamai, co-host of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Dr. Eugene Zamperone and I have been deeply involved with indigenous cultures and combined traditional knowledge with the latest research in natural health care. Join us each week on PRN from 1 to 2 p.m. every Monday. We'll bring you authors, professors, researchers, and activists who are committed to bringing you the latest information which you can use to ensure maximum wellness for yourself, yourselves, and your family. Tune in to Progressive Radio Network every Monday from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time or anytime by visiting the archives. This is Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse, hoping that you stay healthy.
This is PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
We did step out too far on the ledge so far that I think we lost our connection with Becky Bond a few minutes ago. Sorry about that interruption. We are going to just spend a few more minutes with her. Becky, are you with me?
Yes.
So I don't know how much of my long question you heard, but I was saying how can we, you know, spread the activism and awareness and urgency that we do tend to see here in California, not the entire state, but, you know, a lot of environmental policies and products and people do emanate from here, even politicians. What can we do to really spread the green gospel across the rest of the United States?
Well, I think people who want to work for change in the environment and the way that we attack global warming, I think you really want to look for organizations that don't just want your money, that they want your time. And that might mean working with organizations that you don't see as a green organization. It might be joining your local Move On Council. It might be getting involved, you know, I mean, with your local labor council that has, if it has, you know, many of them have fantastic, you know what I mean, views on climate change and see this as a great way to create new jobs in their state. If you're members of organizations that are only asking you to give them money, but are not giving you an opportunity to organize with like-minded people in your community, then look for some organization that will invite you to do that. And if you can't find one, then start your own.
I agree. And before we let you go, you know, Credo is, of course, I guess an arm, a branch of Working Assets. Working Assets has always been politically active. It's not just another phone company. And now you may become becoming a factor in elections. Do you think without – it's a chance to plug your work here – but do you think without Credo's input on Prop 23, it would have been defeated or perhaps not defeated as strongly?
You know, we'd like to think that the sanity of the voters would have won out. I think that the work that our volunteers did in getting the word out, attacking the Texas oil companies, the 130 Valero protests that they did with a Hell No on 23 message at Valero stations back in September made an enormous difference in putting the oil companies back on their heels and making them think twice about how they were going to pursue this. And I give a huge amount of credit to the grassroots that was organized. You know, we helped organize it, but it was really our members who were saying, we want to fight this, help us do that. And that's what we did by opening volunteer offices statewide, giving people a place to go, work with an organizer, and participate in tons of creative ways to get the word out and attack the oil companies. Absolutely. Made
and
a difference.
It's appropriate that a communication company really put a lot of effort into communicating messages that obviously working assets and Credo feel are critically important to the future of America.
Absolutely. We're a social change organization, and we run businesses to fund the political work that we do. It's a lot easier than asking people for money, I think, actually. And, you know, this was one of those things where we're based in California, even though, you know, Credo Action is a national organization. And we really sat down, and when we started talking about Proposition 23 in the wake of the failure of federal climate legislation, and we said, if we're not putting everything we have into crushing Proposition 23, what are we doing? It was just one of those gut check moments where we just felt like, what's our reason for doing what we do if we do not go all in on that? And that's what we did. We hired 12 organizers. We opened 7 offices. You know, we asked the 200,000 members we have in California to get involved, and they did, day after day, week after week, and came together, and together we worked on this, and together we fought, and together we won a big victory. And, you know, I think these are moral questions of our time. What are we going to do about climate change? And it's really not a question of, well, it's neat that Credo did this, or how great that Credo did this. It's more like, why isn't everybody dropping everything to solve this problem? That's what we think.
I think so, too. And I must give some credit to some other grassroots people who were there making phone calls, some people there from Move On, some people there from my fellow TCPers, the Climate Project, Repower America folks. There was one gentleman who was the Florida State Director for the Climate Project, that, of course, being Al Gore's training corps, trained in educating the public about climate change urgencies and solutions, and he came out all the way from Florida.
Oh, he's fantastic. Orchid, know him well. And, and also we should also mention the Union of Concerned Scientists, I think, was their first field campaign ever, and their members got out and did tremendous, amazing work.
And I have to say that one of the calls that I made, they said, oh, we just heard from the Union of Concerned Scientists, and I was surprised, too. I thought, I didn't know that they usually get involved that proactively.
It was a big thing for them, and I think they also had that gut check moment where they just said, you know what, we've got to do something. And they stretched, and they did something new, and it was a wonderful thing, and they made a big difference.
This was one of those come-to-Jesus issues, and if you ask what would Jesus do, I always say, I'm not sure, but my rabbi has been driving a Prius as long as I have for 8 years. And this is a religious movement as well. Reverend Sally Bingham, of course, with the Regeneration Project. Happy to say our synagogue just was rebuilt, and it's so green that we're a finalist for their Energy Oscars coming up next week. And isn't it great that, you know, religious leaders and communities and veterans are getting involved in this to show that it's outside the usual box? This is not a partisan progressive issue only. It really, as I say, it's only for those who eat, breathe, or drink, or have children or grandchildren or any stake in the future. You know, we all need to answer the call. And thanks so much for what you did to organize all those calls. It seems it made a difference.
Thank you. Yes, we're very proud of what our members and what our volunteers did together. And this is obviously just the beginning of the fight.
Yes, I was going to say what's next, and I guess that's convincing more Americans and leaders that this is, in fact, one of the, if not the biggest issue of our time, and that is turning, you know, climate change around, or at least slowing the damage. And when anyone says, well, you know, haven't we already, you know, covered this, or haven't we done enough reporting on this, was one of the questions of the media panel at the NRDC conference. You know, it's like, well, it's not enough for nature to notice, apparently. We're at 390 parts per million. We need to get to 350 parts per million of carbon emissions, and we're not there yet. So if we can, you know, get more people on board to help us get from here to there, all the better.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much for what you're doing. Becky Bond, the director of Credo Action Group, making a big difference in stopping Texas from interfering with California politics. And we showed them a thing or two on the baseball field as well. So it's been a great week or two for California power, both at the bat and at the polling booths. We'll be back right after this with someone from One Sky to talk about their view on the election results nationally. So stay with us. You're listening to The Green Front. All we got is-